I thought you were giving me permission to go to children's church, so I was going to go that way. Well, it's good to be with you again this morning, and what a privilege it is to bring the message and then to be able to celebrate together the Lord's Supper as well. The message today I've called From the Stable to the Table, and hopefully by the end of the message, you'll know why I've called it that. But I'd like to begin by reading a couple of passages of Scripture. First of all, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 25, and right away you'll notice that this is not a typical Advent or Christmas season reading, perhaps, but I want to read these two passages. First of all, Hebrews 10, 1 to 25, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, just in case you have a translation that's a little bit different. The heading here in this scripture is called Christ's Sacrifice Once for All. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures.'" First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to love, acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Then I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and beginning at verse 7. And this, of course, is the record of the Last Supper. Luke 22, 7. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. When the time came, Jesus and the disciples sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat the Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." It's very appropriate that at the beginning of this Christmas season, we link together the Christmas story and the Easter story by celebrating this communion, the Lord's table. The angel told Joseph that Mary would give birth to a son and name him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means salvation. And this is what Christmas is all about. This is why Jesus came, to deal with the sin issue, to bring us salvation, to save us from the devastating effects of our sin now and for eternity. Last week, I called sin the worldwide pandemic. Jesus came to heal us from the pandemic of sin. Now, we can't truly celebrate Christmas without remembering that Jesus was born to die. Lying in a cradle, in a stable, is the first gift of Christmas. It's wrapped in swaddling clothes. And over the next 33 years, much will happen, leading from that stable to that table upon which the Last Supper was served. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I don't know about you and your family and all the traditions that you might have around Christmas, but we have ours. And one of the traditions that we love is to watch at least one of the versions of A Christmas Carol. And of course, that was a book written by Charles Dickens, and it was early in the Victorian era when Britain was experiencing a nostalgic interest in a lot of the forgotten Christmas traditions. It was also a time when new customs such as the Christmas tree and greeting cards were being introduced. Now, I must admit, our favorite version of A Christmas Carol is the Muppets' Christmas Carol. Now, isn't, you know, that sort of says something about how intelligent, I guess, we really are, but it's amazing how they have incorporated so much of the script from the book right into that story, and if you've never watched it, you really ought to. I think my favorite character was Rizzo the Rat there. Anyway, traditions, we love them, don't we? But I want to tie two celebrations together, the birth of Christ in the stable and the death of Christ on the cross that we see actually before he died in the communion celebration, and remember the difference that Jesus Christ has made. And to do so, I'm going to use Dickens' classic outline. Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And I want to use that for our message today. We'll look at God's Word and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us not only remember, but gain a deeper meaning for Christ's purpose in coming. So let's look at, first of all, Christmas past. Christmas past. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read, "Remember the Lord's death." That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer." You see, my friend, Christ's death was made possible by his birth. If he had never been born into this world, he would not have been able to die. That's pretty simple, isn't it? There's something very special about little babies, though, isn't there? We attend a church where there are all kinds of kids, and babies are being born regularly. And the parents are in church the next Sunday, a few days later or a week later, holding this beautiful new little newborn baby. They're so precious. To a baby, life is so simple, isn't it? Eat and drink, and whatever else happens after that. But they're so serene, and they're so soft, and I just love the smell of a newborn baby. Well, some of the smells of newborn babies. And to watch a newborn baby sleep, our grandkids are already, you know, 10, 11 years old, and it's been a while since we even held our grandbabies in that way. But to watch them sleep, to watch children sleep is a beautiful thing, so serene. And it really enriches your soul to see that life, that little life. The Old Covenant in the Old Testament required the sacrifice of unblemished lambs. And here at the stable, Mary's little lamb was the one and only true spotless lamb, because Jesus was to be the once for all lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, back in Hebrews 10, we read, "God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all time." He was God's gift for our redemption. That was made possible by his birth. His death was made meaningful by his life. The gift of Christmas past was presented to the world. The Son of God became a tiny baby. Think about that. You know, in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, we have that little word Selah that comes along every once in a while, and it's just to say, pause, stop, think about it for a moment. Don't just pass over, don't go on quickly. Stop and think about it. The gift of Christmas past was presented to the world as the Son of God became a tiny baby. He came to live among us, and that gift, the perfect Lamb of God, has kept on giving ever since, living the life that no other person has ever lived, a life of without sin. And he came, and God's gift to the world, to give the gift of eternal life to all who would receive and unwrapped that God's gift of the Savior. As Jesus neared the end of his life, he spent several hours with his disciples. He shared the Passover meal, the Last Supper, with them. At least we know it as the Last Supper before his death. He told them some last-minute things that he knew would be important for them in the days and weeks ahead. And when he gave them these instructions, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." He was telling them to remember that his whole purpose in coming, declared in a surprise announcement to Joseph before he and Mary were married, was this. Matthew 1:21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." His death was made possible by his birth and made meaningful by his life. He was born to die that we might live. And the reason for his birth, life, and death was sealed by the resurrection. Birth, life, death, then again breath, alive again, conquering sin and death. He conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave, and on that basis, he made the gift that was given on Christmas, the gift of eternal life, available to all who would receive him. What about Christmas present? Well, we need to remember the Lord's life and what he taught, the example that he set, and then we need to live accordingly. You see, the word communion is an action word. It means fellowship. It means participate in. It means to share together, to have in common. Communion, community. It's not about simply keeping a dead memory alive. It is entering into the presence of one who lived, died, rose from the dead, and is alive today. He is present with us always, and he's represented here at the table. Christmas is much more about this table, really, than it is about the stable. Jesus wanted to have communion with his disciples. He wanted them to think of him often. He wanted them to walk as he walked. He wanted them to talk as he talked. He wants us to live and talk and walk as he walked. He gave us the example of how we are to live. The Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus on this earth, writes this in 1 Peter chapter 2, I have the opportunity once in a while to teach a Sunday school class, an adult Sunday school class. Yes, we still have Sunday school up in our neck of the woods, out on Sumas Prairie, under the pastorship of Mike, the Chalmers, of course. We're part of our church here, and we prayed for Mike. He was the object of prayer many, many times. And praise God, he saved him, and now he's pastoring a church there. But I have the opportunity once in a while there to fill in, and I've been going through the book of 1 Peter. And it's a rich study, and one very, very contemporary and appropriate for us today. But Peter wrote this, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps." He lived to give us an example of how we can live by the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ has done. And our mission is to continue and expand the work that he began. Back in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." We are a fellowship of believers. We are in communion with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, and we are in communion and fellowship with one another. And when we sit at the Lord's table, he is here in us, and he is here with us by his Holy Spirit. My friend, never take the Lord's table lightly. Never take it lightly. It is so special, so precious. This table reminds us of the high cost of our salvation. While it is free to us, it cost God, it cost Christ dearly. He sacrificed everything that he held close, even life itself, to redeem you and to redeem me, to bring us back to God. Again, the writer of Hebrews says, "For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. My friend, what a declaration of the importance of the Lord's table. Before we leave Christmas present, have you thought about what your Christmas present will be to the one whose birthday we celebrate? As you plan and prepare for Christmas, undoubtedly you're thinking about family and friends, and you're looking for just the right gift for your family member, your friends. Christmas is the season of giving. But what are you going to give to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one whose birthday we celebrate? After all, it's his birthday. Well, Paul, I think, gives us the key in Romans 12, 1 and 2. "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. My friend, this Christmas and beyond, make sure He gets you. You are what He wants as His Christmas gift. So we've looked at Christmas past and Christmas present. Let's now look at Christmas future. And we see that in the Last Supper. We need to remember His return. 1 Corinthians 11:26, which reflects back on the Luke passage and says, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. Until He comes again. In other words, He's coming again. You proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. This is also a proclamation. Every time we take communion, we are preaching a sermon. Till He comes. Did one short little phrase ever tell more? Jesus talked about His coming kingdom. When we come to this table and participate in the Lord's Supper, we're to remember His promise that He is coming again. You see, the Last Supper wasn't really the last one. There's another supper coming, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the table is already being set. Revelation chapter 9, beginning at verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to Him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and His bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. As we sit down to Christmas dinner, whatever form that takes, think about that great and wonderful banquet day when we'll sit down together with the Lord Himself. It's a table that is being prepared for those who have received the gift of Jesus Christ and eternal life through Him. When we think of the three tenses of Christmas, past, present, and future, let's be sure to remember, because this is a table of remembrance, but let's be sure to remember that our past is forgiven and forgotten, or it can be if you have never come to Jesus Christ to let Him pay the debt of sin that you can never pay yourself anyway. Well, you will pay for it with your life eventually, unless you accept the gift He's given. Let's be thankful for our present, for the gift of life that cannot be purchased, but it has already been purchased for us by Jesus. But in return, He demands our lives, as the Apostle Paul said. Present your body a living sacrifice to Him. And then let's remember our future is sure. Our future is secure for all who are in Christ Jesus. We know how the story ends, but until He comes, we're to live for Him. And my friend, as we gather around the Lord's table, at least figuratively, we're kind of around the table here. Let's do as we do when we sit to eat a meal and give thanks. I hope you do that regularly all the time. But let's give thanks for the stable where it all started, at least earthly wise. When God became a helpless baby, when He humbly took on flesh and was born in a stable. Let's give thanks for his selfless, sinless life, his perfect life. Let's give thanks for his death, that he willingly went to the cross, he suffered and he died. Let's give thanks for his body, which was beaten and bruised and broken physically. Let's give thanks for his blood, which he shed, poured out as a remission for our sins. Let's give thanks for his resurrection that makes it all possible. Let's give thanks that he is our living Lord Jesus Christ. Christ seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, who is continually interceding for us before the Father. Let's give thanks that he's coming again and that we will live forever with him. Let's praise God for Christmas past, for Christmas present, and for Christmas future. There's a song that we used to sing, and it's called One Day When Heaven. It's not really normally sung at Christmas time, although in my experience we have sung it because it is a wonderful Christmas song, really. It was written actually by Dr. Wilbur Chapman in 1910, so that's probably before any of us were around, but and it was sung worldwide, really. But it's been kind of resurrected by Casting Crowns as Glorious Day. You might know that one, at least if you don't know the other one. But I want to read what the song says, and you'll understand how amazingly this wraps up everything I've said today and gives us the Christmas story in full. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Casting Crowns adds this, word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Stanza 2. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Casting Crowns adds, hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Stanza 3. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. Casting Crowns adds, death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Stanza 4. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Casting Crowns couldn't add anything to that. But the chorus, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. We're going to gather at the table now. I believe the message has prepared our hearts to receive the bread, the emblem of Christ's body, which was bruised, and put on that cross. The cup, the emblem of his blood, shed for us. The life is in the blood, and Christ gave his blood that we might have life. I'm going to ask the elders to come, and we're going to distribute the elements. They come in a little package, and might I say that if you have trouble opening that at all, maybe you can ask your neighbor. And if your neighbor can't help you, maybe one of the elders can help you. All right? And we'll just hold it until we've all been served, and then we'll partake together. And the piano will play as we're being served. But let's think about what we've heard today. And let's give thanks. You know, and if there's something that you need to confess to the Lord, now's the time to do it. Kevin said at the beginning, you know, that we're to examine ourselves, and that's part of what the table does. Help us to look at ourselves. And my friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can know him right here, right today. You can simply say in your heart, in your mind, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I'm a sinner, bound for hell, bound for death. But Lord, I want to receive the gift of Jesus Christ that was given that first Christmas and that keeps on giving today new life to everyone who will receive the gift. And you simply ask him to come into your life to forgive your sin and say, make me a child of God. And I want to follow you. I want to live the way you want me to live because you enable it through your Holy Spirit. But I want to follow you today. If there's any doubt in your mind, then please, I would urge you to receive the gift this morning. Now, if you're not ready to do that, and yet you're here, you've heard the message, you want to think about it, maybe you have doubts, maybe you have questions, I'd encourage you to come and talk with me, talk with one of the elders after. But if you have doubts, then don't partake. This is the Lord's table. It's for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for sinless people, because we're all sinners. Even as new believers, new creatures in Christ, we still sin and we need to be forgiven. And so whatever it is that we need to confess today, confess it. And then receive gladly these emblems of Christ's gift to you. So be in prayer as you receive the elements. You can feel free to kind of try and get it ready for when we're all finished and we're served and we can do it together. So let's do that now. Thank you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and he took the cup and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great plan of redemption. It didn't start at the manger. It started in eternity past with your great plan of redemption. But Lord, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for giving him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming, for humbling yourself. Thank you for living among us, for dying for us, for rising again, for ascending to the Father in heaven. Thank you that you are seated on the right hand of the throne of the Father. Thank you that you're interceding on our behalf. And thank you that you are coming again. We give you all praise and honor and glory. Lord, may our lives reflect this thanksgiving day in and day out as we seek to serve you, to become more like you, to live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.